and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Thank you so much for checking in. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. And of course, support for WEAA is provided by Live Baltimore Fall 2018 Trolley Tour that's coming to Baltimore Poly High on Saturday, September the 22nd from 8:30 a.m. through 1 p.m. Meet and greet real estate professionals while experiencing various neighborhoods. You want more details? Go to livebaltimore.com. All right, folks, we have been just getting some final thoughts from our special guest, Ms. Monet Anderson from Fox Sports, about this situation, this case that looks like it's going to be a happy ending for 18-year-old Jamal Speaks of Washington, D.C., whose future was very uncertain. But with some love from social media, out of all places, you decided to come through, make his story go viral and known. And now Jamal Speaks, who has a good GPA, who is a well-known high school football player, but who just didn't have a permanent residence. He finally has found residence in the Covenant House in Washington, D.C., and he's looking to take advantage of the great opportunity to be at Temple University, where they have reached out to him for a football scholarship. Joining us has been Ms. Monet Anderson. Monet, as we look at this story, I'm wondering, what is the big takeaway and what can we expect either from Ballou High School at this point, from the two athletic governing bodies, from DCIAA and the DCSAA? What do you expect from your vantage point to hear from these institutions?
You know, I think they may stay pretty quiet as far as any representatives speaking out. You know, they have put out some statements. And as I said before, I think that's about all they're going to do. They're going to put out their statements and they're going to let Jamal ball, as the hashtag has been going around. Yep. You know, let Maul ball. So, you know, they're going to let social media feel as though we had our hand in it. And I believe we did.
Right.
So we'll take those kudos.
Right, right.
But I think also moving forward, they're going to think twice about making decisions like this, especially to the underprivileged and those that just need the help that you know, they don't know where to go, and we need to be there for them. So I think they will think twice about this situation. Again, they do see, as I said, you know, we're watching you. You know, you can't just do what you want to do to these children. Yes, there are rules and regulations, and we're not here to break laws.
Right.
And bend rules, but we're here to be fair, and we want people to also be compassionate and have a heart, because I know people involved in that situation and the decision had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you feel if that was your child? So I think, you know, a little bit more of compassion, a little bit more of investigation before you jump and do something like that to this young man who's sitting on a D1, a Division I scholarship.
Mm.
You know, not everybody is offered that. And for him to get that with his situation going on, it's huge.
Really good.
And they almost killed the dream. They almost killed the dream.
And and somebody might have put some hands on somebody, Monet. Let's keep it DCB more 100 DMV style. Somebody would have put their hands on it. Be like, man, I didn't know. Let Maul Speaks be like, let people heal. That's
right. And that's right. You know what? Think about those who were done this way without social media. They had no help. So
that's,
you know,
true. Jamal, that's absolutely right.
He's in a great part. Of technology right now, that he was able to be helped out. And from this, I hope DCIAA learned their lesson. I hope the principal is now sitting there saying, dang, I messed up.
I mean, but can't the principal recover from this? Can Ballou High School recover from the loss of trust that I'm assuming that they're going to lose from the parents and the staff and the community of Ballou? Can they recover?
I think they can recover, but I think he also needs to speak up, you know, not just behind a closed door and say, hey, you know, I'm rooting for you, fella. that doesn't work. Come out, make a statement. Even if you put out a statement, that would be good enough for us. But for you to just sit as the principal and act like you had not a hand in this,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah, you got to say something. But I do think they can recover from this, especially if Jamal gets out there, does his thing, you know, runs 100 yards a game, and gets on the table.
Well, this is going to be very interesting. And we know right now, Monet, that politics and sports have become best friends at this moment, right?
Right.
So how do we make sure that that doesn't become an issue down the road for future athletes? Really looking at this situation, right? I'm just blown away because I don't want to call it this, but I feel like this is the Kaepernick era of sports.
Oh, it is. It really is. And it's a trickle-down effect.
Right.
You know, it's a trickle-down effect. And what are they trying to do to the black community? It almost seemed like with the whole Kaepernick thing, you took a side, you know. And
right.
we're coming to a point now where are we still having black people take sides against one another? You know, it shouldn't be. We have a black principal in a predominantly black school who people are now looking at with a side eye. Why? Mm. Why? He should be one of the biggest advocates. So as you said, you know, politics, we have to make sure that they're not able to get in here and cause this separation between us. Because, you know, they're out to do that, you know? You cause that separation, you cause the friction, and then we start plucking each other off.
Mm.
So we have to be mindful of that.
And I think so. What has been, I know that his teammates decided to take that protest in the last game, but since all of this, any new statement from his teammates about some of the latest things that have been happening? Anything from them?
Yeah, the most I've seen is, you know, the social media presence. You know, they're hashtagging and, you know, tagging him and saying, you know, they want him back on the field and it's not fair. So they're speaking out the best way they can. They know that platform is social media, so that's where they're going to speak out on his behalf.
Wow, that is so inspiring and uplifting. Well, Monet, thank you so much for your time being with
Anytime.
Us. Real quick, you know, we have our next story, but I want to get you your thoughts on this since you are a Fox Sports broadcaster.
Yes, sir.
The Baltimore Orioles is looking to be the first pro team to have Braille on their uniforms.
Yes, nice.
So
I like it.
Is that something that you think is going to be the new wave in sports, or is this just going to be a one-team wonder?
You know, I can see teams pausing for a moment, but I can also see other organizations, you know, jumping on the bandwagon as well, because you want to cater to those who are less fortunate, the disabilities. You have to start catering to those people. And I think having that Braille on the jersey, it's huge. It's saying to the blind community that, you know, we understand, you know, and we're trying to incorporate you into this world as much as possible. You know, no sight. I couldn't even imagine. You know, a lot of us can't even imagine. And to open that door to them, for them to go in and be able to, you know, put their hands on that jersey and feel that Braille, I think it's a wonderful thing.
That's what I'm talking about. Monet Anderson from Fox Sports in Washington, D.C. Monet, we would love to have you back on to talk about
the
sports-related issues. You got some fire, sister. But I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much for checking in and being a part of this conversation about Jamal Speaks. And let Jamal know, if you come across him, Monet, that he got
love
coming out of the Be More. All right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for the invite. I'll see you guys soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for checking in. Folks, we're going to take a quick pause when we come back. We're going to certainly, if you want to share your thoughts about the Orioles and their dedication to the National Federation of the Blind moving to Baltimore, 40 years ago, they decided to put Braille on their uniforms, the first pro team to do it. You can give me a call at 410-319-8888. Would love to hear your thoughts about that. Also, in this hour, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about what is happening in Washington, D.C., folks. Is this a sequel to what we saw with the dramatic hearing of Anita Hill? how now Mr. Brett Kavanaugh is under the microscope for sexual misconduct. Another Supreme Court nominee under the microscope. Will he make the grade? We're going to talk a little bit about that. So stay with me. Whole lot is coming up in this last hour, last 45 of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Folks, you know how they say that if you don't learn from history, it's bound to repeat? Remember that saying? We've been talking about history and learning and all that good stuff. So I think this is an appropriate time for us to bring that particular point to the forefront. Because if you haven't heard, the president's Supreme Court nominee, Mr. Brett Kavanaugh, who many thought would be a shoo-in, even though he's Republican and has had a questionable record, many thought that the nominee was still going to be confirmed by the Senate. But it all changed. This all changed. The trajectory of this man's life has all changed as now his accuser, Ms. Christine Blasey Ford, has decided to come forth and to share and to testify that Mr. Brett Kavanaugh, a young Brett Kavanaugh, sexually assaulted her. Wow. And of course, this is a big, big knock to President Trump's decision-making once again on one of the most important decisions that he would make as a president. When presidents have the opportunity to choose their Supreme Court nominee, they essentially have an opportunity to create the court, or shape the court, rather, in a way that would benefit their policies and to affirm their legacy. This looks like this won't be the case for President Donald Trump. He may have to think of somebody else for the Supreme Court. But in the midst of that drama, the history that is doomed to repeat itself is the history that I think that we should bring up, which is the history of sexual violence, sexual misconduct, sexual assault, and how that story is told by women who are victimized by men in power. Now, we have talked about this extensively on this program and on other shows here on WEAA, and I'm going to continue to harp on it, which is that, women need to speak up, need to use their voice, need to use their platform to speak out, right? To speak out truthfully, not to speak out just to because you upset that that man didn't end up being with you and you create stories. I'm not talking about all that madness. I'm saying that if a man has really victimized you, violated you, has assaulted you in any way, shape, or form, that you need to speak out against that injustice. And we saw that. Do you remember what happened to Anita Hill back in the early 90s, in 1991? Do you remember that? Here was a black woman who made the allegations against then Clarence Thomas, right? And as he was going to be confirmed for the Supreme Court seat, it was Anita Hill that made, I mean, very, very a strong case of being sexually harassed by Clarence Thomas. I remember growing up, and I'm not too old, folks. I'm just letting you know. But I remember, even as a little boy, remember hearing about the pubic hair on the Pepsi can. I remember that. That was one of the big statements that came out of her testimony, right? Well, Ms. Hill has decided to pen an op-ed that ran in the New York Times. And she talks about that experience. I want to read to you just a little bit of what Ms. Hill had to say, because I think it's appropriate that we keep her case in mind of this case. And she was speaking up for herself when there was no U2 moment. There was no Me Too movement. There was no Me Too. Matter of fact, it was looked down upon for women to say anything, especially against a man of great prominence and power and promise. That was one. But then to be a black woman. And if you remember that time period, the elected officials grilled her. I don't know if you remember that, but I'm telling you, they grilled her. And I couldn't imagine. I mean, seriously, I really couldn't imagine being scrutinized and ostracized and maligned so bad by not just U.S. public officials, but then the media took shots at her credibility, took shots of it, of every part of who she was, her character, her life, her history. I mean, they went for it. I couldn't imagine. I really couldn't. But I'm proud to say, and I'm happy that she decided not to to bow down to forces to not use her voice to speak up. I'm happy. Even though Mr. Clarence Thomas sits on the Supreme Court, the fact that she said something, speaks volumes. We're going to talk a little bit about this tonight because I definitely want to get your take on this. But let me share with you a little bit of what she wrote in her New York Times op-ed that came out yesterday. And just to let you know, she is a professor at Brandeis University. But her op-ed was how to get the Kavanaugh hearings right. The Senate Judiciary Committee has a chance to do better by the country than it did nearly three decades ago. She said, there is no way to redo 1991, but there are ways to do better. The fact underlying Christine Blasey Ford's claim of being sexually assaulted by young Brett Kavanaugh will continue to be revealed as confirmation proceedings unfold. Yet it's impossible to miss the parallels between the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings of 2018 and the 1991 confirmation hearings for Justice Clarence Thomas. In 1991, the Senate Judiciary Committee had an opportunity to demonstrate its appreciation for both the seriousness of sexual harassment claims and the need for public confidence in the character of a nominee to the Supreme Court. It failed on both counts. as that same committee on which sit some of the same members as nearly three decades ago. Listen to that, man. Now moves forward with the Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings, the integrity of the court, the country's commitment to addressing sexual violence as a matter of public interest, and the lives of the two principal witnesses who will be testifying hang in the balance. Today, the public expects better from our government than we got in 1991 when our representatives performed in ways that gave employers permission to mishandle workplace harassment complaints throughout the following decades. That the Senate Judiciary Committee still lacks a protocol for vetting sexual harassment and assault claims that surfaced during a confirmation hearing suggests that the committee has learned little from the Thomas hearing, much less the more recent Me Too movement. With the current heightened awareness of sexual violence comes heightened accountability for our representatives. To do better, the 2018 Senate Judiciary Committee must demonstrate a clear understanding that sexual violence is a social reality to which elected representatives must respond. A fair, neutral, and well-thought-out course is the only way to approach Dr. Blasey and Judge Kavanaugh's forthcoming testimony. The details of what that process would look like should be guided by experts who have devoted their careers to understanding sexual violence. I can't deny that. The job of the Senate Judiciary Committee is to serve as fact finders, to better serve the American public, and the weight of the government should not be used to destroy the lives of witnesses who are called to testify. I'm gonna put a pause on that real quick. Anita Hill about to make me say amen. Y'all hear me on this? Anita Hill's about to make me say amen. When we get back, folks. Oh boy. I know you say it's only 6:30 for Roger. You going in? Just a little bit, because there's nothing greater than to have a reminder of your best self. And this country need constant reminders of your best self. Let me talk about it. Stay riding with us. I want to hear your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in this final 30. For the culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Justina Pollard, producer of Today with Dr. K. I just want to take this time to thank you for your donations to the Dr. K Teacher Depot. Your support was so appreciated, and guess what? The doors to the depot are open to any teacher needing water, sanitizers, or tissue for your classroom. Just contact WEAA and tell us what time you want to pick it up. Thanks again for your support. As you know, here at Today with Dr. K, we love our babies. WEAA is absolutely the voice of the community.
Hey, this is Mikkel Hunter of Mornings with Mikkel. We bring you information, conversation, and sometimes we cross the line just a little bit to make sure we bring you up to date on the things you need to know. Great music from every genre, encouraging you with fresh inspiration with Kelly. Stay woke with Mark Clark's On the Mark. Spotlight on women in music, and we know how to have fun, especially with our comedian friend, Larry Lancaster. Your live Baltimore voice, WEAA, we are absolutely the voice of the community.
If you're looking for the very best in conversation, great music, and of course, the very best slow jams in the city, make sure you join me, LaDon Black, nightly, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your community station, the station that's your source for cool jazz and so much more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Not sure if you are a current WEAA member? Call us at 443-885-2075.
Do this for my culture.
Peace. Welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Man, oh man, I'm telling you, man. Let me just tell you how serious this is right now. We're talking about the Brett Kavanaugh, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford situation, the sexual assault allegations against the Supreme Court nominee, Mr. Kavanaugh. But Miss Anita Hill has written an op-ed that has ran in the New York Times. And people all over the country are calling for this op-ed to be pushed to the front page of the New York Times. And Miss Anita Hill is a professor at Brandeis University. And she wanted to serve as a reminder of what we saw or what we're seeing today, a reminder of what happened nearly 30 years ago with her situation and her sexual harassment claims against Justice Clarence Thomas. I got to go back to this op-ed because she's speaking to my soul right now with this one, folks. I want to go back to that part, though, where she makes a suggestion. And I think it's a very, very important suggestion to make considering the time that we're living in. I don't think that we should have just people, who are your regular politicians to have this conversation. I mean, today, not in 1991. Yeah, we should have. But today, there should be some new voices that are present in this whole confirmation or this whole discussion on Capitol Hill. This is what Miss Anita Hill said. As that same committee on which sits some of the same members as nearly three decades ago. She's talking about the Senate Judiciary Committee. She's saying that some of the same members that sat on that Senate Judiciary Committee that she had to face are still there. She said, as that same committee now moves forward with the Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings, the integrity of the court, the country's commitment to addressing sexual violence as a matter of public interest, and the lives of the two principal witnesses who will be testifying hang in the balance. Today, the public expects better from our government than we got in 1991, when our representatives performed in ways that gave employers permission to mishandle workplace harassment complaints throughout the following decades. That the Senate Judiciary Committee still lacks a protocol for vetting sexual harassment and assault claims that surfaced during a confirmation hearing suggests that the committee has learned little from the Thomas hearing, much less from the more Me Too movement. Here's where it is, folks. With the current heightened awareness of sexual violence comes heightened accountability for our representatives. Amen. Amen. To do better, now that's all. Now, Miss Hill, you're about to take us there. You saying to do better. Now, this is where it gets sticky, folks, because we live in a country where we are now challenged by all of these forces, right? The forces of racism, the forces of injustice, the forces of intolerance, right? Now, we have to become committed to do better. Miss Hill is suggesting that. To do better, the 2018 Senate Judiciary Committee must demonstrate a clear understanding that sexual violence is a social reality to which elective representatives must respond. No more of us acting as if these things don't exist, especially when it comes to men in power. Ladies need a platform. Ladies need to speak their voice. to use their voice. Ladies need to tap into their power. I know. Trust me. But she's saying some real stuff to me right now, folks. Real stuff. But check this out real quick, and then we're going to get to our calls. A fair, neutral, and well-thought-out course is the only way to approach Dr. Blasey and Judge Kavanaugh's forthcoming testimony. The details of what that process would look like should be guided by experts who have devoted their careers to understanding sexual violence. How you going to dispute that? How can you go against that? We don't need no sexual violence experts on this panel. Us politicians know how to address this. How? When there isn't any mandate in the workplace, when there isn't any clear-cut policy to protect women, and more importantly, when women still feel afraid to speak up against men against power, men with power. Can we go back? I just want us to have this conversation very quickly. She said the job of the Senate Judiciary Committee is to serve as fact finders to better serve the American public. And the weight of the government should not be used to destroy the lives of witnesses who are called to testify. Come on. How is it that a person, male or female, if a person becomes a victim of a violation, depending on who that person is speaking out against, they can either be loved or hated? The victim, which is absolutely insane. But in Miss Anita Hill's case, she was ostracized. She was hated. And the weight of the United States government was used to destroy or try to destroy her credibility, her character, to essentially try to destroy the life of a witness who is called to testify. That's why ladies' strength are in numbers. And then she lays out some ground rules. And I'm going to go get to my callers because I'm getting too excited about having this conversation with you right now. Too excited. Because I love when people speak truth to power, and I love reminders to be our better selves, our best selves. I love that. We all need them. We all need somebody to pull on our spirit, our consciousness, our souls every now and again to remind us, hey, you're better than this. And this country needs it. And this country has it, but this country doesn't listen to it. Let's go to the lines. 410-319-8888. All right, Brian from East Baltimore, talk to me. What's your take so far?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, so, you know, just a few things. You know, one, you know, dealing with it being Brett Kavanaugh, and, you know, he's a politician. You know, I look at it like if once a presidential candidate, you know, was accused of the same thing and was recorded, you know, saying grab him by the vagina.
Right.
It's like, what's the difference, you know, in a sense? You know, they still elected this man. So it's a mindset and a group of people who are looking past this for what reason, I don't know. But also, it is enlightening for me, you know, for things like this and the Me Too movement, because, you know, it can be kind of confusing at first, you know, to hear things about 30 years ago that someone did and bring it back. You know, you got Bill Cosby, you got all these things, but it's enlightening as well for me as a young man, because I actually went back through my life and talked to myself, like, what is the situations that I've ever been in to say, you know, okay, have I ever went too far, or
come on,
you know,
Brian,
like, not understanding did no really mean no at this point in time. And that's scary, because, you know, a lot of men take pride in saying, like, look, I ain't never got to take no woman or take it, you know, force myself or nothing. But then you think back and you're like, damn, have I ever put a woman in a position that she really felt like scared, that she just really had to do it? Like, we're in my bedroom or wherever, you know, and it's complicated. It really is. But
Brian, what you saying right now is speaking to my soul, because I think as men in this country, we all got to do that soul searching, right? One is that we are raised up with a certain mentality, right? that we as men are hunters and that we go out and get it and don't let nobody reject us. But then women aren't to be conquered, right? We know that,
right?
I mean, when you become into a much mature man, a more conscious man, whether you're black or white, Asian, Latino, doesn't matter, you understand that women aren't to be conquered. So to have that mentality to be taught to us from boyhood to manhood.
Yeah.
And then you come to your senses when either you are locked up or you are in a traumatic situation with a woman. It becomes a real issue. But then you got to look at all the damage and see, that's real. All of us, I think, as men, should take that moment to reflect like you did, man.
Absolutely.
To take that moment to say, have I ever did that? And if I did, how can I atone for that?
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying?
I have a 3-year-old son, and, you know, I plan
on
raising him to show him, like, look, man, you know what? It's not really that cool to start having sex at 15, 16
nah,
years
bro.
Old, talking about how many women that you didn't you knocked down and getting your body count up. You know, I want them to be concentrated on school solely, you know, and a part of this enlightenment, you know, it's just been crazy for me. I want a lot of people, if anybody listening, to tune in and check out Can't Close My Eyes. You know, it's an organization, nonprofit organization by my godmother. Can't Close My Eyes is helping stories and victims of these things just like this, even down to child molestation and so many different things. One last thing is that it's so real for me that I literally walked into a McDonald's one time because I know they have somewhere in one state where McDonald's started protesting or whatever because of this issue. And I literally walked in on a meeting of some young ladies with a gentleman and the manager talking about how they were telling this man no, and he kept on doing it, touching them, doing these inappropriate things. So my last thing is just that, man, fellas, like, stop touching these women's butts, man. You at work and getting all lovey-dovey with them and stuff like that.
Right.
Ooh, young men, stop touching on these women's butts, man. It's another way we got to do this. We got to rethink it. Also, young ladies, man, like, make it clear, you know, that no means no. You know what I mean? We was confused a little bit by, like, oh, is it two no's mean yes or whatever,
right.
You know what I mean?
All but that garbage. Like, that's garbage.
Yeah, we got
to come on, man. And you're right. There's a responsibility on both sides. Brian from East Baltimore, thank you for checking in, man. Kicking us off. Real Thomas from Baltimore, what's your take, sir?
Faraji, my take on sexual harassment, period, is dead wrong, man. Right now, Mr. Kavanaugh is having to remember something that he thought was going to stay in the closet forever. And I understand what Miss Anita Hill. I understand what she's saying about this whole thing, man. Because now what I'm wondering now, if some of those same members are there 3 decades later, are they going to grill this white woman like they did Miss Hale?
There you go.
Then? Because I'm going to tell you something, Faraji. No does mean no. If she says no the first time, that means no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, my son kept coming up from where he came up from. Of course, you got certain women are going to throw themselves at certain guys with money and power. But in the same token, man, I always tell my son, no means no, boy. If she says no, get up and go someplace else.
That's it.
Leave her alone.
That's it.
But we got the primary. The Republicans right now have the best example of moral compass. And that's that orange-haired joker that's in the White House at 1600 right now. He is their leader. He is the Republican Party's leader. He is the Republican Party's moral compass, as one would say. So if he ain't got no moral compass to himself, Faraji, what do you think the rest of the Republican Party is about?
Ah, there it is. Real Tom, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for checking in. Charles from West Baltimore, let's go.
You know, at the very core of this Kavanaugh nomination is the very sickening idea, for lack of a better word, that you still got some old white men at the top of this government who believe that they can put women back in their place.
Mm.
Now, and the media seems to have lost touch with the central piece of this here. So Kavanaugh is being put on this court for the purpose of destroying Roe v. Wade. The message to all women is that you don't have control. You don't have the right to decide what to do with your body.
Mm.
What's best to do with your body. That is a step, major step, towards putting women back in the kitchen.
Yep.
That's the core. That's the core message of this nomination. And I hope people don't overlook this. And guess what? He's a danger to a whole bunch of other basic fundamental rights. But the ones who have the ability to put an end to this are women, particularly white women, who put him in the office, who put Trump in that office in the first place by giving him 53% of their vote.
Come on, Charles. You speaking that truth, and I appreciate you, and you absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? And I thank you so much, Charles, for bringing that up, checking in from West Baltimore. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that, folks. I mean, all I can say is I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. You have to be in a certain mental space of not loving yourself to advocate for certain type of behavior or to try to look past certain type of behavior in your elected official, right? But not just any elected official. You're talking about the president of the United States. I want to just throw out really quickly, because I know we got Gene, Jay, and Dave, and I got short time here, folks. But I want to make it clear, because I think what Ms. Anita Hill has been speaking about and has been sharing is something that should be considered. I hope many of us, you know, like Brian and Thomas, I hope many of us who, as men, we really think about this thing, think it through. But I hope this country really listens to what Ms. Hill had to say, because I think she's speaking some real truth here. She says some of the basic ground rules the committee should follow. Refrain from pitting the public interest in confronting sexual harassment against the need for a fair confirmation hearing. Our interest in the integrity of the Supreme Court and in eliminating sexual misconduct, especially in our public institutions, are entirely compatible. Both are aimed at making sure that our judicial system operates with legitimacy. Boom. Then she says, select a neutral investigative body with experience in sexual misconduct cases that will investigate the incident in question and present its findings to the committee. Outcomes in such investigations are more reliable and less likely to be perceived as tainted by partisanship. Senators must then rely on the investigator's conclusion, along with advice from experts, to frame the questions they ask Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Blasey. Again, the senators' fact-finding roles must guide their behavior. Then she also suggested that they do not rush these hearings, that doing so would not only signal that sexual assault accusations are not important, hastily appraising this situation would very likely lead to facts being overlooked that are necessary for the Senate and the public to evaluate. That the committee plans to hold a hearing this coming Monday is discouraging. Simply put, a week's preparation is not enough time for meaningful inquiry into very serious charges. Mm. Listen to her final point. Ladies, I want you to tune into this part. Here we go. Finally, refer to Christine Blasey Ford by her name. Mm. She was once anonymous, but no longer is. Dr. Blasey is not simply, quote, Judge Kavanaugh's accuser. Dr. Blasey is a human being with a life of her own. She deserves the respect of being addressed and treated as a whole person. Come on, man. Come on. See, the beautiful thing about what we're getting from Miss Anita Hill in this op-ed, it is not complaining. It's not a woman who's bitter, but a woman who still believes, still hopes in a system, still hopes in an idea, still hopes in a process, and is willing to give some insight on how to make this process a fair and balanced process. Not Fox News style fair and balanced. No. But fair and balanced in a way that gives justice and provides a platform for Dr. Blasey's grievance to be adequately considered based upon time, based upon the factors, because this is a serious thing. Sexual assault, sexual harassment is serious, but then you said sexual assault, that means that he violated you not just emotionally and mentally, but he also physically put his hands on you in such a way that it made you uncomfortable, made you feel less than. This is not about believing Dr. Blasey or not. This is not about, that's not the conversation. The conversation is more about believing and listening and providing the respect of a woman to speak her voice and to tap into her power, and for us to have a very, very real conversation and to do some reflection in this country when it comes to how we treat women in this country. All of us. All of us. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Y'all making me feel it. All right, Gene from Pikesville, talk to me, sir. What's your take?
Yeah, how you doing, Faraj?
I'm good.
Keep up the good work, man, as always.
Thank you.
Did you see Frontline last night?
No, sir.
Bernie Weinstein?
No, sir. Talk to me, Gene. What happened?
Okay, so, well, I'll give it to you in one word. Objectification. This mindset of objectifying women. And it's going to be real short. If you want not to put yourself in this situation, choose from the fruit that is blessed to you. That's the woman. That's the women who choose you.
Mm.
And that'll break the whole thing down. You can then live your fantasy.
Yeah.
Because they are willing and complicit and a part of what you want to do.
Right.
It's real simple. Women choose men. And once men understand that, and then what you do is you look around and look at God's gifts to you, and you choose.
Mm.
And you have no problems.
Mm.
Well, not all the time.
Right.
There's problems in all situations.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you will not have many problems when you choose from who chooses you.
There you go. Hey, Gene, I got to let you go, but I really appreciate you. And folks, as we're having this conversation, it came across just a moment ago. I'm sure you're going to start to see this all across in all your media. But CNN has just reported that Dr. Blasey, they still call her Kavanaugh's accuser. But Dr. Blasey is, according to her lawyer, a rush to a hearing is unnecessary. The lawyer has made the point that that it's not fair for her and for Mr. Brett Kavanaugh to have a conversation about this issue on Monday. It rushes the whole thing. That's just what Ms. Anita Hill just said, right? How you gonna do this? How you gonna have a real conversation about this? Remember in 1991? That took some time. That took some real time. And I think that's and I agree with Ms. Anita Hill. That's the problem. We want to rush through stuff. We want to rush through everything in this country to make us feel happy and comfortable. We addressed it. It's good. We are at this new place. No, we're not. I'm telling you, we're not. We're going to make more enemies inside these borders and domestically than we will outside of these borders. Because why? We don't give a people a chance to grieve and to have their grievances addressed in a way that's fair and balanced. We don't give them a chance. All right, Jay from Aberdeen, talk to me, sir. Thank you for checking in.
Karaji, great to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, I'd like to take a thing. Too many issues you're bringing up. I got too many things to say, but I just want to try and bring up something real quick.
Sure.
Try and compare and contrast these two issues, comparing Judge Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh. First, great article by Anita Hill. Agree with everything she had to say. One thing she points on her article is she's talking about a man who harassed her on the job, on the workplace. On the other hand, you're talking about Kavanaugh, who wasn't a man, who was a teenage boy.
Mm.
And I think we're,
that's a good point.
We can't look past that. And it was 30-something years ago where behavior today is not considered, wasn't the norm of behavior back then. And a teenage boy back then makes a bad mistake, does something wrong, branded by teenagers. If you don't know what sexual harassment or sexual assault is in this day and age, I don't know what rock you're living on. But I got to tell you, Faraji,
yeah.
This guy, he's in his dorm room. He got too aggressive with some girl and crossed the line. Got it. He probably did. And then you got to look at this one. Clarence Thomas got confirmed, and he was a mature adult. I believe he was a judge at the time when he supposedly sexually harassed Anita Hill, and he still got confirmed.
He still got confirmed.
17-year-old boy back in college. That people are saying he shouldn't be confirmed. Politics aside, I don't care. I don't agree a lot of his stances on stuff. But you got to take that into consideration.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's an excellent point, Jay.
Yeah, I just think he's, we can't pass judgment too quick, and I don't want to rush through it because nobody knows. We got to find out. But I'll bet you dollars to donuts that guy gets confirmed anyway.
You know what? You are absolutely on point with that. And I really appreciate you, Jay, for bringing that element to the conversation. My whole thing is just to add to it. I don't, as we consider his age, right, because you're right, because Justice Clarence Thomas was much older than Mr. Kavanaugh. But at the end of the day, I don't want this to fall into the category of boys will be boys. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. And too often we have that as the justification. And because of that age situation, I think that may be a part of it too. Like his defense attorneys are going to say, well, he was a boy. Boys will be boys. So it's a big conversation. We wanted to get it started, because Ms. Hill put out this op-ed, and I think it's a very, very powerful op-ed for us to consider and to think about. And now looking at what CNN is saying from Dr. Ford's lawyers, saying that we do not want to rush this process. Come on. You can't rush the justice, folks. You can't do it. That's a slow walk. Because why? It has to consider all the factors, all the elements. It has to consider all, so that when that final decision is rendered, no one can say that it was a decision that was biased or even untruthful. They'll just have to say it was a fair and balanced decision. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of tonight's conversation. I want to thank my dynamic production team, Ms. Mallory Pinkert-Pierre, Mr. Alex Blanc, my production assistants, Jalen and Daryl. And I certainly want to thank Charlie for making me sound so good tonight. Look, continue the conversation on our Facebook page at For the Culture 88.9 on Instagram and Facebook. If you are checking us out each and every day on Facebook, we thank you so much for doing it, being a part of the conversation. And if you are looking to go back to some shows, check out WEAA.org and get your latest fill of all of our podcasts of For the Culture. Also, you can follow me on all of our social media platforms at Faraji Muhammad. That's FarajiMuhammad. Stay tuned, as up next is In the Groove with my sister LaDawn Black to give you that cool jazz for your evening. And as always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I'm Faraji Muhammad. Look forward to having another great conversation with you tomorrow right here on For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And as always, do good, but be exceptionally good for the culture. We'll be right. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Peace.
Hey, this is Mikkel Hunter of Mornings with Mikkel.